إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, with regard to doing dhikr thoughtfully, we are on this kalima of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, La ilaha illallah wa ahdahu la sharika lahu, lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And yesterday we were talking about Lahul Mulk, the meaning of Lahul Mulk and the understanding of it. When I say meaning, I don't mean just the dictionary meaning of it, but the issue of understanding it in its totality or trying to experience it, of what does Lahul Mulk mean? That for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever is there in the world belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And what is the meaning of belonging? What is the meaning of saying that I belong to Allah? What does it do to you? What should it do to you? That is the issue of understanding the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say Lahul Mulk, that everything is, the mulk is Allah's, and the mulk is not a question of one nation state. The mulk is whatever Allah has created. And it is whatever Allah has created, and the whatever the laws of that creation are, all of this is part of mulk. Mulk is milkiyat wal iqtidar, both of them. So the malik is also the qadir. And only the malik is the qadir. The malik can give some of his qudrat to somebody else. For example, if you own a house and you rent the house to somebody else, so the house belongs to you, and you are the person, and you are the only person who can do anything to that house or in that house. But when you rent it to somebody else, you have transferred some of your iqtidar, you have transferred some of your control and authority to somebody, not entirely. For example, you might rent the house or let the house out to somebody, but that person cannot sublet. That person, when they have rented your house, for example, they cannot change the construction of the house. They cannot break down walls, and they cannot build rooms, and they can't do all that. They can use the house. So you have given them limited authority over your milkiyat. They can't sell the house. You can't say, well, I'm now living in the house, therefore I will sell it. You can't sell it. That's not the fact that you have been given control over the house does not mean that entire authority of the ownership has been transferred to you. It has not been transferred. Only a part of the ownership has been transferred, which is the authority to live in that house, to maintain that house, to live in the house, not to make changes in the house, not to add anything to it or remove anything from it. You don't have the authority to sublet it. You don't have the authority to sell it. Now, this is the way we need to understand the milkiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given us limited control and limited authority over ourselves and over whatever of the creation that Allah has put into our power. Allah ne humko ikhtiyar diya, kitna ikhtiyar diya. Jaisa misal ke taur pe, for example, your children, right? Your children are yours. Allah has given you authority over your children. But can you kill your child? Can you kill your child? For example, you say, I don't like this child. Or maybe the child is deficient or deformed or, in some way the child is sick. Can you kill the child? Do you have the authority to do that? You don't have. Allah has given you the child limited authority. Even though the parent has the maximum authority over the child, the parent does not have the authority to kill the child. You can't say, well, my child, I'll do whatever I want. No, you can't do whatever you want. You do not have the authority to do whatever you want. And the same thing applies across the board. This is my tongue. Do I have the authority to use it anyway? No. Allah has given me the control of my tongue, and I have the authority to use it to say good things, to speak the truth, and so on and so forth. But if I'm using my tongue to curse people, if I'm using my tongue to harm people, do I have the authority to do that? No. If I had the authority, then I would not have the punishment of doing it. What is the proof of authority? Proof of authority is that there is no punishment attached to that. If you are acting within the purview of your authority, you have the right to do that. Nobody can punish you for it. But what about whatever Allah has given us? Whether it's our own faculties, whether it is our property, whether it is our resources, our wealth, and so on and so forth. Do we have absolute authority over it? We don't have absolute authority. You are told how to earn. You are told how to spend. And if you earn in a different way, and if you spend in a different way from what you have been permitted, you are in trouble. Which means that how is the wealth yours then? It's not yours. If the wealth was yours, if my wealth was mine, then I would have the absolute authority to do whatever I want with that wealth. And no questions asked. Nobody can ask me any question. This is my wealth. I can do whatever I want. If I want to burn it, I can burn it. If I want, whatever I want, I can do it. But sorry, that's not the reality. The reality is you do not have the authority to do whatever you want. You have the authority only to act within the framework. It's like, that's why I give the example of a rental agreement. It's like the rental agreement of a property. You can only act within the framework of that agreement. You have rented the property, therefore you can use the property for the purpose for which you have rented it. You cannot, for example, rent a property for residential purposes and open a shop in the property. You can't do that. It's not permissible. Because you might say, well, you know, I'm a halal business. I'm only selling religious books. Sorry. It is not meant for anything other than the purpose for which you rented the property. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we say lahul mulk, what are we saying? That this belongs to Allah. Everything belongs to Allah. And therefore, we need to remember this and say that it all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have been given limited authority over it, and I can only use it for the purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the authority. Nothing else. Nothing more. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, the benefit of understanding this is twofold. One is, it gives you complete freedom from all stress. And say, Alhamdulillah, this belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do I need to do? I have rented a house. The house needs a coat of paint. What do? I call the owner. I don't paint the house. That's not my job. I don't paint the house. I call the owner. The house needs a coat of paint. Right? It's for the owner to do it. So, Alhamdulillah, as far as that is concerned, we belong to Allah, and therefore, we have complete lack of stress and complete confidence in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu will take care of us. Because again, like I said yesterday, the ownership reflects on the owner. If a property is neglected, it reflects on the owner. Does not reflect on the property, on the owner. So therefore, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take any negative reflection from anywhere. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of what He owns. So therefore, this gives us a huge amount of confidence, Alhamdulillah, to say that we don't have to get stressed out about ourselves, as long as we are doing what we are supposed to be doing. And the second thing is that it keeps us away from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you keep that rental agreement example in mind. Everything reference back to the agreement. Reference back to the agreement. If you have a doubt, go to the agreement. Can I do this? Check the agreement. Can I build a wall here? Check the agreement. Can I remove this? Check the agreement. And that's the issue as far as we are concerned. Lahul mulk belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can I do this? Check with that issue. Does it belong to you? If it belongs to you, and if you can do it, yes, you can do it. But if you can't do it, check the agreement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, in terms of lahul mulk and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks after things, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. The outcome of lahul mulk is Rabbul Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabb. He is the one who sustains and who protects and who nourishes and who takes something from a stage of incompleteness to a stage of completeness. And this is part of his rububiyat because he owns the thing. Right? Now, I get a lot of kicks from reflecting on and thinking of the small things in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. The big things are there, all the planets and whatnot. But the small things. And I recall an incident where I think it was 97 or 98, when I was leaving the US, I was scouting for a place to do a outdoor leadership course. So I needed some place which had, you know, cliffs and so on to do rappelling and abseiling off the cliffs and all of that. So there's an American friend of mine, he said to me that I have a property in Maine which I will take you to see, and it's in the forest. So you see if you like it. So we were driving up there, and very, very beautiful country, and we were going in the fall, so it was like somebody had thrown buckets of paint everywhere. The fall in the eastern part of the United States is amazing, absolutely. The Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've never seen such colors in my life. So we reached this place, which is on a mountain top, and it was a oak forest. And these beautiful oak trees, each tree is maybe 200 feet high. Huge, massive trees, and the trunk is so big that the two of us together, we couldn't put our arms around the trunk. It was, such massive trees, like mountains, huge trees. And obviously, very thick stand of oak, so which means that there was almost no undergrowth, so it was all clean. Except that I saw the ground was littered with little green berries, what looked like green berries. Now, I know the oak seed, the acorn, looks like a supari, it's brown and hard. So I said, these are not acorns, so what are these? So I asked this friend of mine, I said, what are these things? So he said, let me show you what it is. So he picked up one of them and he peeled it like an onion. So it was like, it was a compacted mass of leaves, very tender leaves of the growing tip of the oak. He peeled it, and when he opened it, in the center of that was a little worm, a small little caterpillar. So I said, what's that? He said, it's an amazing thing. He said that there is this particular kind of fly. He said, this fly lays its eggs on the terminal bud of the oak. That's the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I always marvel at this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately create situations which are so completely amazing that it blows your mind. If you are a fly and you want to lay your eggs, what must you do, logically speaking? Find the most secure place, right? Now, the most secure place is not 200 feet up in the air, completely exposed to the elements, on top of a mountain, on top of the top of an oak tree. That's the least secure place. That is the place which is, if you're an egg of a fly, how long does it take? One gust of wind, it's gone, right? But this is the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show His power. So the fly lays its eggs on the tip, the terminal growing tip of the oak. And the moment the fly does that, in a normal situation, the terminal tip is the part which grows. The moment the fly lays an egg on the terminal tip, the tip stops growing and the leaves around the tip, they grow and envelope the egg. They completely cover the egg. And the whole thing compacts into like a small berry and it breaks off and falls down to the bottom. Where is it now? It's under a complete stand of oaks. So it's completely secure. In pouring rain, you can go and sit there, there's no water on you because the stand is so thick. So it falls down and it's resting there, either on the lower branches or on the ground. And this caterpillar, the seed hatches, and this caterpillar now has hatched where? In the middle of his food. It's like being born inside a bar of chocolate. It's surrounded by food. And then when it completely grows and it's ready, it breaks out of that and flies away. And he told me the story, I had tears in my eyes. He said, why are you crying? I said, because this is Rabbul Alameen. This is Allah. Imagine this entire Qudrat is for the safety of one fly. One fly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs something as massive and huge like an oak tree to become subservient to that fly, to the egg of that fly, and the purpose of the tree is to protect the egg of that fly. Ajeeb Qudrat Allah ki. Ek makhi, one small fly. All of this Qudrat to protect this one small fly and to give it food when it needs it. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of Lahul Mulk. This is the meaning of Rabbul Alameen. This is the one we worship. And that's the point I'm making, that when we make dhikr, Let us remember this. Let us think about this and say, this is what we are doing. So when we are saying Lahul Mulk, this is where we are. Inshallah, more tomorrow. Bismillahi ta'ala wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatika.